Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Hello and welcome to Maths Hysteria, a podcast all about Married at First Sight with me, comedian Omar Abid, wedding celebrant Sarah Clark at Sarah Clark Celebrates on Instagram, and Claire Limmer Abid. You alright?
You're right.
You're taking the piss out of my accent.
No, not on purpose.
Oh, that's another accent we could practice.
It's quite hard doing Manchester. I'm still working on my, I've got a bit of a crush on you, Tim. I've developed a bit of a crush. He's a real hunk of spunk.
So well, cute. I just did, this is our second go at the intro, because I just did a Collins, which threw you all.
Yeah.
Perhaps insensitive.
I feel too emotional about to mention Collins yet. Well, can we come to them later on?
Do the housekeeping bits first.
Housekeeping bits. What are the housekeeping bits?
Sarah did a radio interview.
She did.
Oh, yes. I did a little radio interview for a local northeast radio station, which we'll share, about our live event.
Yay.
I'm starting to get really excited.
Yeah.
Tickets are going. We had a big jump yesterday in the number sold, which was good because I was starting to sweat a little.
No, it's good. It's going to be really fun. Yeah. Bring your friends if you're a maths fan. If you listen to this and you've got friends who love maths, it's just going to be really interactive. We want booze. We want cheers. We want...
Yeah. I thought you said booze.
Well, there'll be booze. That should have been the tagline. Yeah. There'll be booze and booze.
Yeah, we've even scheduled in another planning meeting, haven't we?
At the pub.
Well, we've been putting together, while people are... getting in and settled and everything, having some food maybe and a few drinks before it all starts, we've been putting together a playlist, Maths Bangers we've called it.
Yes.
Like, so he wasn't man enough for me and stuff like that.
Toxic.
I put on Whitney, It's Not Right But It's Okay.
It's perfect. Basically all early noughties bangers.
Yes, we know our
early noughties R&B bangers.
What was the one I said the other, I don't know if we put it on, Jennifer Page, Crush.
Crush. It's just a little crush.
Got a bit of a crush on you, Tim.
Amazing. Oh, yes. Amazing. So if you have any suggestions for our playlist,
oh yeah, that's a good point,
can let us know on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook.
Yeah,
upbeat's better than sad.
Yeah, we need a few more male ones, I think, because they're all like,
there's a lot of female artists on there.
There are. It's like sassy.
Something we should make clear, though, is because did you have a few messages about
I had somebody ask me, well, you're not getting Mel there, really, are you? Is she doing a link? And I was like, she's really going to be there.
No, actually, really? There. You can in the throw flesh. Stuff at her.
The real... Please don't.
I'm not encouraging. Do not throw chips at her.
The real Mel.
Nachos.
The beautiful real life Mel.
Yes.
Will be with us on stage.
Yeah.
And what am I going to wear to compare with this woman? That is my fear.
I was starting to think, should I book in with the hairdresser? Should I get my makeup done? Should I do Tony de spray tan?
I think I'll just come as Shrek and just admit defeat because she's too beautiful. Can we be in fancy dress?
Well, yeah. You were talking about whether you were going to wear your wedding dress.
No, I would if it still fit.
Should we all come in wedding dresses?
Well, you actually are going to wear your wedding suit.
No, I've got a... No, that's kind of...
pink.
Yeah, I've got two. I've a range of pink suits, it turns out.
Anyway, go and book your tickets if you want to see Omar in a wedding dress.
Yeah, the Stand website, £15, 11th of April, Newcastle.
Yeah, the links are all on the socials as well.
Yeah.
If you want to go from there.
Housekeeping done? Anything else?
No.
Not that I can think of.
Let's get to the commitment ceremony. Let's start where they started and get them out of the way. Tristan and Cassandra.
Were they first? Oh, bless them. Mm.
Yeah, he was loving being first, which makes sense.
I think first is good.
Yeah.
Get it done.
Gentle. You've had your and then time you can the enjoy the drama. The voyeurism.
Exactly.
Like Jade.
Yeah. Or as sweet lot who I'm starting to warm to Lauren, as Lauren said, I may have a lazy eye, but I see everything. She's so cute. Yeah. I love her. Tristan and Cassandra. Mm. He is his lack of self-worth gonna be such a stumbling block here? Because bless him, and it's so funny, like she said it herself, it sounds like a cliche, but I wish he saw himself how I see him. Because even as viewers, we see like a good looking guy, I can't remember what his job is, but he's like, he's very together, very friendly, very open, and he's so hard on himself.
Strong words that.
I hate myself. Yeah.
I think it was Alessandra that asked that question, wasn't it? Where do you like yourself or something? I think she was shocked.
She said, I hate myself. Never heard someone say that. It's extreme, isn't
and
it?
And to be honest, if we're being harsh on the like experts, producers, that's not somebody who's ready for this show. Mm. You're not going to be a good partner to somebody if you come in hating yourself. And I don't know whether he means it or it was something he just said that was almost like a flyaway sort of self-deprecating comment.
Yeah,
I don't think he truly, truly hates himself because he holds himself with a lot of like dignity in most situations.
Yes, he clearly has some self-esteem issues, but I don't think he truly hates a strong word.
Hates a really strong word.
Very.
And then maybe he felt like he had to double down because I don't think he fully meant that. But if somebody comes into this process hating themselves, that's not a good partner for Cassandra.
No.
Are we calling her Cassie at this point? I can't remember.
I'm not sure.
I feel like we've not seen them that much in the process so far, since the wedding.
Do you think they've had any more little pecks?
Yeah.
Well, she gave him a lot of compliments. Mm. But there's a point where it's like, look, confidence is sexy. You have to start
being,
you know.
But I did like the feedback he got from the experts. I think it was Mel who said, well, every time you have a negative thought, why don't you switch it out for one of the things Cass said about you, which was really sweet. And that's like a nice practical thing he can try and do. But obviously this is a life's work.
You don't
go, oh, thanks Mel, I love myself now. Like, that is going to be
those
a lot
20
of work.
Minutes is so helpful to me.
Oh, if only someone had told me sooner.
But like, he's been paired with somebody who, again, the same way I love Lucinda, Cassandra seems super patient, super kind, super encouraging. And so I think he's with somebody who he can open up to and build his confidence, hopefully.
It's hard to know where they're going to go, isn't it, at this stage? Because we haven't seen them again yet.
We saw them
in Intimacy Week, we
saw them just learn it was Intimacy Week. Okay. And he said to camera, I'm dreading this. And then he went, oh, this is going to be fun to her. And I was like, oh, say it with a bit of your, say it with your chest. Like, it just sounded like...
Okay.
Yeah, they're in the spot where I feared they might be at the wedding, that they'll be good for each other, especially she will be good for him. But are they just going to be friends? That's why I'm so pleased with him when he tried to get out the friend zone, but then didn't actually kiss her for another 5 days or something.
Yeah.
Which is, again, like I've said this before, my sympathy is always limited when somebody can see what they need to do and they don't do it. Mm-hmm. Because I understand, like, we all have self-esteem issues. I'm sat here with a black eye. We all have self-esteem issues, but sometimes if you notice what it is, you have to change. You've then just got to be brave.
I know.
And so I think he does need to hold her hand, kiss her, be a bit more affectionate, because she's given him the green card a couple of times now.
Mm-hmm. What's a green card?
Well, it's where you get
green light.
Into the country.
Green light.
Are you saying he's just marrying her for a green card?
Where does he want to live? I don't know.
I think you're thinking of 90 Day Fiance.
Green light. She's giving him the green light. Yeah.
Another sort of quick one, I guess. Mm-hmm. Ben and Ellie.
Yeah.
He's dead. I mean, Alessandra couldn't quite pin him down, really. Well, I suppose she did, because then he ended up saying, oh, I'm 50-50 on kids.
Oh, I can't believe he said that.
And what did he say? Something about, oh, I like the idea of it. It feels like it might be nice or something.
Fatherly instincts are there.
He also said, if I met someone who wanted kids.
Yes.
And I think a couple of the girls picked up on it.
Yeah, it was Lauren.
Probably Lauren. Starting to love Lauren. Yeah. Lauren does like the editor's commentary that I love, where we see her make comments and we're like, yes.
She was like, but he has met someone.
He's met somebody and he's talking about it like theoretically, of my opinion might be changed, but clearly his opinion's not going to be changed because he's met someone who really desperately wants kids, and he's not. He's saying he's 50. So for someone to say they're 50-50, I think means they're not 50-50 because. Does that make any sense?
No, it does. It probably means you're not.
He's probably like 30-70. No. Do you know what? I was in bottom set maths and I think it started to show. I don't know what I mean. I don't think he wants children, but I also don't think he's massively into her because he's saying, oh, if somebody could really turn my head and turn my opinions if it was the right person. But he's talking about it as if he hasn't met her yet.
Yeah.
But even if he was genuinely 50-50, which I agree with you that he's probably saying externally he's 50-50, but internally he's probably more that he doesn't want kids.
Mm. And to her, that he does. So he'd said three different things, basically. He had his inner monologue, don't want kids, outer monologue to the group, 50-50, and then to her behind the scenes, she was like, but you said you were warming up to the idea, and like you did maybe want kids, and telling everybody something different.
I guess that's what I'm getting at. I'd forgotten that he had said to her that he does want kids, because if you're going around and being like, yeah, maybe if someone can turn my opinion or whatever, is that the person you want to have kids with anyway?
No.
Where you feel you have to, like, you know, maneuver them around and change their position. It's a clearly very important for her. She wants someone who's already in that same space.
Yeah. And I sort of think at 39 you would know a bit better whether it's a yes or a no.
Agreed.
By the time you're 39. Maybe it's different for women.
Well, I agree. I agree with you so much. It pisses me off because it's like women, like I said last time, women have got to decide almost like 10 years younger of like approaching 30. Mm. These are my like let's not be depressing. But I think it's just, it does piss me off that men like Richard could come onto this having never had children.
Yeah.
And decide he wanted to have kids with someone in their 40s or 30s, and that could be his first kid. Yeah, and he's 62. I mean, it pisses me off.
Why? Who are you pissed off at?
Men! Because they can just dedicate their whole lives to travel, adventure, and their careers, and they can date whoever they want, and then they can decide when they're like, you know, an aged, like Rolling Stone, that they want to have a family.
Yeah. Rolling Stone. I was going
to
say,
can you see why I'm pissed off?
Well, not really.
Women have to pause their careers and decide way earlier, and not necessarily have met the right person. So, do they want to freeze their egg? Anyway, this is not the podcast for this.
Yeah, it is.
But it's just women just have to put so much more thought into it, and then for him to turn around and sort of string her along, call her sensitive. She has to think about this thing. Yeah. She has to.
Yeah. No, I get you can be pissed off at. This is what I'm asking. Who are you pissed off?
Men.
You can be pissed off at Ben because he's being wishy-washy.
Yes, he's being wishy-washy.
I think it just annoys me in general that between the genders, there's not the same, like, you don't have to apply the same thought process to your career, to your life, to your relationships at the same point in time.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It just doesn't seem fair. And then for her to be judged for it and to be called sensitive. She's just trying to get her ducks in a row. Yeah. And she's like, is this the right guy for me? And he's feeding her different lines.
Yeah, and he must have said during the application process, either yes, he does, or he's open to it. He must have said that, or they wouldn't have paired them together.
Agreed, I was thinking that.
Because she has explicitly said, I want children.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I do think he's starting to fudge, either he fudged it then, or he's fudging it now.
Exactly, mm-hmm. And so he's almost punishing her for something that she must have said to be paired with him.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
No, I get it, but I think...
Is it because you're the only man in the room?
No, like, I mean, I'm starting to just want to take his side just on principle.
He's allowed to not want children. Together.
He's allowed to not want children. I just think, like, if it's something in his heart of hearts he just knows he doesn't want, he needs to tell her.
Yeah, he should.
Because he doesn't look that bothered. He doesn't sound like he wants them.
No. Especially, you know, children are very important to females, aren't they?
Shall we talk about Tim and Sarah?
God, I was terrified for him.
He was really nervous of her.
He was.
Is a funny dynamic because they're both equally good-looking people. Mm-hmm.
I find them both a bit weird-looking.
Do you? I think they're good-looking.
Tim's from like a late 90s, early noughties boy band, isn't he? He's got that square
or like Saved by the Bell or something like that. Yes. Yeah, he's got a bit of that Zach. But his body language, the way he was like, he was testing his answers quietly before he really committed to anything, just seeing what her reaction would be. Mm. And then if we cut to when she was like, we'll talk about this later. It's like getting told off in public by your mum of like, you've embarrassed us, we will talk about this later.
Wait till we get home.
Yes, there's possible grounding happening. But that's not an equal balance
every time,
for a romantic relationship.
Yeah. Every time he tried to talk, she was just answering for him. Yeah. It was really bad.
But the experts didn't let go over it. No. Because a few times they said, nope, let's hear from him. Or even the way they worded it, they would like, and what do you, Tim?
Well,
Tim, what do you think?
Well, Sarah was saying, I think he must have felt overwhelmed.
Yeah.
And Alessandra was like, you think or did he? Tim, did he?
It's so funny sometimes when they're so blatant in their delivery. You can't get away with this.
Yeah. But even when he said yes, I can't remember what the question was that John asked him
about whether he's intimidated by it.
Right.
He said potentially
yes. So are you or aren't you? Not potentially yes.
I think it's fair to say you clearly are.
Yeah. The thing is, I was thinking back to their honeymoon, and she, I don't want to say stormed off, but remember they had the discussion at the table and he said calm down or relax or whatever.
Relax,
and it upset her, she walked off. He looks like the sort of guy who'd like an easy life.
Exactly.
And so he doesn't want to provoke her. And so I don't know whether he's scared of her or he's just nervous of confrontation and he just wants like a nice placid relationship. And so I don't know whether he's nervous of her or just do you know what I mean?
It's conflict.
Yeah. And also it was set from day one or day two of the honeymoon. They already had that conflict and he just doesn't want that.
Yeah, which I think is it's definitely how I'd want to be. I know what you mean, there's a difference, but I thought it was interesting the whole you need to relax thing, how she then used that again.
It was like a double bluff.
Yeah.
She said it to him.
They both thought they were making a good point.
Yeah.
It was really frustrating to watch.
Yeah, and he said...
They're both like, see? 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 And they're both saying the same thing.
Well, that's it. But like, I put on Twitter, like, what point do you think you're making, Sarah? He stopped himself from saying it.
Exactly.
Then you forced it out of him. The reason he stopped himself was because he knew it wasn't a good thing to say.
Yeah, I know.
Also, what's on your fucking phone?
I know.
Because now I'm like,
I know.
What is on that phone?
Oh, I know.
It's a bit doomed, really, because you can't be with someone you're afraid of. Mm-hmm. You can't be with somebody...
Hang on, let me just write that down. that is wonderful advice.
You can't be with someone you don't trust. And it's just an interesting dynamic that they've already established, because I think on paper or even like physically, they look like a good match and they feel like... I mean, I sound stupid to like really bang on about how good looking they are, but they are just quite well matched physically.
Yeah.
And, you know, the Columbia link and stuff like that. But now the power dynamic has really shifted where she seems to really dominate. And I don't know what part he's playing. He's allowing her to not do the task. I'm not saying he can force her, but he's just taken her, her no. And actually, if I was in that scenario, I think I would have said to her, well, I don't trust you now. Why don't you want to do this task? Like, show me your reasoning. He didn't push her enough to get the reason.
Not doing a task is not necessarily a sign that you're in the wrong or you've got something to hide or whatever, but it's your reasoning. We've seen other people want to do tasks or not want to do tasks, and it totally depends on what their reasoning is.
Two examples that spring to mind. Timothy didn't do the dirty old man task and passed with flying colours, and then we'll come to it, but sweet Lauren.
Yeah,
it was her,
totally wrong.
But it was with the eye gazing, she explained that she's self-conscious of her lazy eye.
Oh, did she?
Yeah, she did. She said, I don't want to do this. I've got a lazy eye. And like, she actually was talking about her eyes. And yeah. I think, like, had she not said that, Jonathan might have thought, oh, she just doesn't want to look at me, or she doesn't want to do this task. She can't be asked. But she sort of explained it was an insecurity.
Oh, right.
Yeah, whereas with Sarah, it's so frustrating because she hasn't given any reason other than it's invasive. Of course it's invasive. That's the whole point of the task. Yeah. You're supposed to, like, see into someone's life. And, I don't know.
That's interesting. Well, we'll come to him later. But yeah, I've totally missed it then. I didn't realise it was because of her lazy eye. Well, so that changes my whole perspective on that.
Yeah, I just thought
why
it was,
she didn't do it.
And it shows how important communication is, because if you've got a reason for not doing something, it's normally personal, and it's normally nothing to do with the other person. It's normally your own insecurities or whatever. And if you voice that, then the other person will go, oh, okay, now I get why you don't want to do it. Whereas if you don't, and you just sort of are defensive. We needed more from Sarah of, like, you know, has she had an ex who always wanted to go through her phone and it's triggering? Has she got stuff on there that's really private between her and her mum? Be like, do you know what? I don't want you going through my phone. I have a really private conversation with my mum. It's really personal to me. It's nothing to do with you.
Yeah.
I haven't cheated. She needed to give a reason.
Yeah.
I think she's incredibly defensive, though, although she will say that she's not it's not defensive. I just didn't want to do it.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I mean, exhibit A. even when, I think it was John said to her, you know, you talk a lot. You've spoken a lot here tonight over Tim.
Mm.
And she says, I can't help it. Well, it's like, well, you sort of have to try and help it.
Like that's the whole podcast. I find it really hard not to interrupt people. I remember learning about you come from different families, and some families, you wait for other people to finish and then you speak, and some families you interrupt.
Mm.
And it's not necessarily right or wrong, because in my family, interrupting shows enthusiasm. So if I told a story around the dinner table and nobody interrupted, I'd be mortified, because it shows nobody's listening. But if everyone's interrupting, it shows that everyone's engaged. And then if you're from a family where you wait, it shows respect. And so it's just those different communication styles. But yeah, she does talk over him.
Yeah. And she talks for him a little bit. There's a difference there,
yes,
as well,
true,
isn't there?
True.
She was talking for him on the couch.
Yeah.
So he wasn't even sometimes like getting to the end of a point or opening his mouth before she's answered for him on his behalf. That's a big difference, I think. Yeah.
So he was spoken for and over at the commitment ceremony. Then when they came off the couch, he was like, we'll talk about it later.
Oh, yeah.
Then when he got home, she was having a go at him about that. You see how annoying it is when you're told to relax? Then all her mates turned up and he had to fuck off.
I know! The coven arrived. Yeah. I know.
The little get-together
or
with
brought all the Kit Kats.
And the Prosecco. I was jealous. That looked like a really fun night.
Yeah.
No, I know. He just got chucked out. I mean, it's similar in a small way to Lauren and Jonathan, where one is a more dominant personality.
Yes.
But it feels like Jonathan and Lauren have a more chance to work. There's a little bit more chemistry there. And if he... I don't know, do we talk about them next?
Yeah,
it's just an interesting dynamic. And I just find it fascinating with every couple, because obviously someone's going to be more dominant and someone's going to be...
Yeah.
I'm not going to use the word submissive. I'm not Jack. But quieter or more of an introvert. And with Lauren and Jonathan... I can see both sides. And it's quite rare on Maths. Normally you side with somebody and someone's being a complete knob. I can really see both sides. And even Jonathan said to camera, for 20 years I've just learnt to like be calm and not react. And it's like he's taught himself to be this lovely mellow personality, and now he's been told that's not right.
Now she wants a big reaction, but and he's not there. He doesn't know how to do that yet.
I think I like them both. And I definitely like Lauren's self-awareness, like when she was on the couch saying she needs to work on her insecurities and things like that. But in terms of that argument, I'm on Jonathan's side, because some of the stuff she was saying I didn't agree with. Like you, I don't think you agreed with her when she was saying a personality is having an opinion about things. It's why it's not? Because he wants to do the... It's like she was saying, there was definitely a point where she said that eye-gazing task was cringy.
She's trying to get the granular of his personality, isn't she? She's really trying to get him to like reveal more so she can see if they're suited or not. And at the moment she keeps describing him as robotic, the Terminator, all this stuff, because he is just somebody who wants to go with the flow. His personality type is almost what he's showing her. He's somebody who's easygoing.
Well, yeah.
He's easygoing and he's like easy to get on with, and he's like seems like a really nice guy, and that's almost not enough for her because she's like, where's the drama?
Yeah.
And she must be used to these relationships that have much more punch and much more like she keeps talking about the spice and all stuff like that. But I can see where she's coming from in terms, she's nervous he's not showing her his full self, and so how can she judge whether this relationship has legs?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because he's being so placid or mellow.
Yeah, but I think
might just be him.
Yeah, but to him that's consistency.
Yeah.
And to him she's being inconsistent, I think she is a bit.
She
because
is.
The first episode we saw, he was the best person, they're great together, he's the best. The next episode, well, he's just got no personality.
She was off him. And they'd slept together. We found out now that they'd slept together that first night. Yeah. And the next morning, she was being quite standoffish with him.
Well, she did say on that episode, it's like having a one-night stand.
Yeah, that's true.
But then it's the same. She said on the couch, I know I need to work on the vulnerability side of it.
Yeah.
I know that I like talk and I laugh and I make jokes when there's vulnerability.
Which is useful at times.
But then she didn't do the eye gazing.
Yeah.
And that is a task.
But I thought the eye gazing was down to her insecurity.
Well, exactly.
Potentially.
That's why you would feel vulnerable.
Yeah.
Because you feel insecure. So if you're going to reveal that, you're going to feel vulnerable and insecure. But the task is an opportunity within like a kind of set boundary to actually do that.
Yeah.
And she said on the couch, I know that I need to do that.
True.
And then she hasn't done it.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I think that's a very good point. Because
Omar.
It's just like the Tristan thing. Like, oh, I'm anxious about making the first move and kissing her.
You've still got to do it.
You got to do it.
Yeah.
That's the only way it's going
to
get
it's
better.
It's like you might be really anxious about doing exams at school. You still have to do them, but it's just you maybe prep in a different way. Or like, there's things you have to like tackle head on. What about Lauren when she was told they had to do the genital cupping? Hail to the nah, to the nah, to the nah!
Oh my god, I forgot about that!
It's so funny.
That's a weird task.
But do you think they'll show that?
Yeah,
of course, we don't know.
This is a good point where we should interject, where there's a couple of things we're going to talk about.
People listening going, genital what?
What have they been watching in between episodes?
Yeah. Well, just so we've got this podcast episode ready for the listeners in time, we're watching certain episodes ahead of time, but it means that because it's shown in Australia post Watershed, there are bits that are cut out of the UK airing, which is pre Watershed, if that all makes sense.
Yeah.
And one of them is Lauren and Jonathan doing an intimacy task of genital cupping, which is exactly as it sounds. You stand facing each other,
fully clothed, and you just loiter your hand near.
Yeah.
You don't actually even touch the other person.
No.
But what I liked about Jono and Lauren. They did have a real laugh.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes when they're getting on, I think he'll grow on her because he's consistent and he's kind.
She did keep saying she thought he was getting a bonus.
Yeah, he did grow on her. He definitely did grow on her. But I think the things that she... I wonder if the things she doesn't like about him will be the things that she ends up really liking about him. And as we have more dinner parties and they have their like retreat and all things like that, as the other guys... or couples are more chaotic and have their problems, and if he remains quite consistent, maybe she'll see him for who he is.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not saying I love him. I can't work out quite if he is being a bit...
I quite like him because he's not as robotic as I thought he was going to be. All their reactions during the commitment ceremony, kept cutting back, and he was like, he was cringing.
Doing facial expressions.
I think what we hopefully will see is them bring out the best in each other.
Yeah.
So he'll mellow her out and she'll give him a bit of humour and a bit of like, she's got such a cheeky, like wrong sense of humour, which is actually really brilliant. And she'll bring that out in him. And we are starting to see that, like they do giggle.
Yeah.
And she does say like wild things that make him laugh.
Yeah. He is a bit monotone, though. I do know what she means.
What about when he edited it out and she went to sleep when he was talking and they edited it so his voice zoned out?
And she was just like,
and she's like, I'm going to hell. I wasn't even listening.
Yeah.
What can he do about his voice, though?
No, I know. But I just wonder if that's something that also she's not used to. It is pretty monotone.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
It doesn't really go up and down and, you know.
Well, I think you're right, though. I think this is exactly the challenge of their relationship is she didn't want someone who's a red flag. He's not. He's nice, stable, consistent. She's got to get used to that. That's what the challenge is. Yeah. And or if she can get used to it, or if she'll realise, actually, I do need a bit more drama. You know, that's what the challenge of their relationship is. So it's kind of, I don't know, learning pains or something.
Mm. Yeah. Or maybe she can get the drama elsewhere, especially in this group.
Yeah.
But they remain consistent together.
Yeah.
And that would be nice.
What about when she was talking about, she mentioned Harvey Weinstein. Mm. She's just so funny. Like her little quips. I'm really starting to like her.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Next couple, Jaden and Eden.
Jaden.
Why did they keep cutting out the bit where it said that the ex had to watch him?
Yes, I know. Well, I don't know if they cut it out or he just didn't say it on the sofa.
But I would have thought then Eden would have said, you're leaving out a crucial detail.
But she looked mortified on their behalf as a couple. Because if you're paired with somebody or you've chosen to be with somebody, you feel like they represent you a little bit. And she looked really embarrassed with what he had to reveal to the group. And so I don't think she'd make it worse by adding that detail.
Yeah, but I just don't think the experts would have been that shocked if the confession was, I slept with my ex's friend.
Yeah.
It's not that big a confession for maths. Mm-hmm. We've heard worse things than that. So I think, I can't think of what, but we have. So I think for the experts to be that shocked, they must have known that added detail, but maybe they chose not to air it for whatever reason.
I just don't know how this is going to be resolved. It felt better than it had before.
I don't know that we saw that much for me to make a judgment, because I know you said in our last episode, after hearing that confession, you'd be out.
Well, I don't want to sound harsh. It's just, it speaks volumes.
I think it's reasonable.
Yeah, no, okay, fair enough. It really gave me the ick. Yeah. And it was just very toxic behaviour. Mm-hmm. And if somebody just said they didn't regret it and that was their gut reaction straight off, I'd be like, well, okay, you've said that, that's enough for me to hear. But if it'd be different if they'd really regretted it as they were telling you. It's not, something I'd choose to.
I mean, what was the advice? I mean, they did give Eden credit of the way she'd handled it, which I think was good.
Warranted. Yeah. And it was nice for her to hear that. I don't know, I can't remember what they said to him.
I think they asked, didn't they, Mel, maybe? Asked him how he felt about it now.
Yes.
Kind of got him to speak a bit more about, like, would you do that again? No, I would not. So he kind of, and I think they even put the subtitles on at that point.
Right.
I don't really know why, because I thought, I'm sure we can understand what he's saying here. But it put it actual subtitles on, like, yes, I do regret it, I wouldn't do it again now. So she kind of tried to pin him down a bit on that.
I think for me, one of the red flags is when he was explaining it to her, or even when he was explaining it on the sofa, he was saying things like, oh, now I've told Eden, I realise. It shouldn't take Eden hearing the story for him to realise. It's like, I robbed a bank, but now I'm saying it out loud to you. It sounds wrong.
Luke?
Yeah. It's no, like, you should have your own inner morality that's not dependent on your partner. That puts a lot of pressure on her to be his, like, you know, Jiminy Cricket conscience. Sorry, a little reference back to, like, what was that?
Disney?
Pinocchio.
Pinocchio, yeah.
But that's not her job.
Yeah.
No.
I would want to be with someone who was secure in their own sense of right and wrong.
Yeah, yeah.
I do know what you mean, but...
But
I think that if you do something that you feel a bit ashamed about or embarrassed about or, you know, uncomfortable about, it's very easy in everyday normal life to just completely switch off from that forever.
Compartmentalize
it. Not have to think about it.
Yeah.
I'll just go do my kickboxing. I'll just go do whatever. Boom, 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 boom.
Grow my hair.
Grow my hair. You can avoid that completely.
Mm-hmm.
So he's maybe just like never thought about it again. And then he's put in this situation where he has to think about it. He has to talk to somebody he likes about it. And he has to talk to experts about it.
True.
So I think maybe given the like scenario that he's in, he has been able to go, oh, right, yeah, I shouldn't have done that.
Doesn't sound good when I say it out loud.
Doesn't sound great. I'll say I'm sorry. No, I wonder if he's just been able, he's had the conditions now to let himself think about it.
Because there's some people like I've sometimes, I'm like if you do something, do you reckon you could just shut it off?
Yeah.
You know, and never think about it
again. People do it all the time.
Yeah, yeah.
To protect themselves. I think your brain does that, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I can totally see that. It still shows a little bit of immaturity for me. That
but he is only 26.
There we go.
27, 26?
Yeah, and we don't know when it happened as well.
Yeah.
Maybe he was 13,
14. Just stop it! That was disgusting.
Well, let's... Sorry, do you have more to say?
No!
Let's end it there.
Well, I was going to say, let's use this... Let's call this the sex section. The section.
Oh, very nice.
And we can talk about Jack and Tori.
So people might not have seen in the pre-watershed that Jack and Tori were given printouts.
Yeah.
It's like a game of Never Have I Ever, but on A4 printed paper, literally saying like, which of these, yes, no, or maybe, would you do in a sexual scenario with a partner with stuff like nipple clamping?
Dirty talk, choking.
It was literal lists of things you would do, like fellatio, whatever. And then one of them was golden showers, and that is where they didn't see eye to eye.
Yes.
Urethra to urethra. Because he was, the thing that pisses me off about him is he's so smug, and I think he saw that as a challenge of like, I'm going to show how alpha I am.
Yeah.
He said yes to all of it.
Yeah.
And she said no to golden showers, and he was like, oh, I'll teach you some stuff. And it's like, you're so grim. Respect her boundaries. I definitely feel the
dynamic in their relationship. She'll have said yes to stuff that I don't think she actually feels comfortable that comfortable with.
Yeah, she keeps having to prove, or she keeps feeling like she has to prove herself to him as this person he's like training to be the perfect partner. And so I totally agree with you. She would have looked at that list and gone, how many do I have to say yes to that he's going to think I'm the ideal woman, submissive but like freak in the bed, you know, like lady in the street. And so that was pretty obvious.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, even the just in terms of that dynamic on the commitment ceremony couch, she almost, I think it's quite performative, her whole like, I'm not bothered about what's happened before.
Yeah.
It's like, it's all right to be a bit pissed off about it. Like, even if you do think, look, it happened before, I believe him, but it's fucking annoying.
Yeah.
But she's really defensive about it.
And it's actually not true that she isn't bothered about what happened before they met.
I know.
Because she freaked out about that photograph.
Yeah. I know.
So it's like, you can't pick and choose. If you've drawn a line, you have to draw a line.
Mm-hmm.
And it's mad to say that anything up till the morning of the wedding is something. And that's so obviously a lie. Because, he went to a strip club the night before and you wouldn't care. Of course you would.
Yeah.
But also, did you notice...
strip club's a bit...
Well, okay. I'm trying to think of a
last night before you get married. Strip club's maybe. Okay.
I'm just trying to think of she would care what he'd been up to. Not in my world. She but did you notice that she was almost parroting back his own language, because she used the words a disgruntled ex, and that's what he keeps saying, a disgruntled ex.
Yeah.
And then he is really training her to use his language, perform to his standards, prove herself to be hot enough in that task. She had to do a whole little TED talk about why she was the hottest. And I hate seeing her jump through these hoops, because I don't think she realizes that she's being made to perform. And it's frustrating because she's doing it Just playing into his smug ego.
Well, it was at that point we had another little aside from Lauren, who were like, you know, those two Muppets in the Muppet Show, Statler and Waldorf, who sit in the
talk
balcony.
To each other. Yes, yes.
So how do you know their names?
I know. I couldn't picture the old men, but I wouldn't know their
names. Well, exactly, the old men.
I know
in the
Bert
box.
And Ernie.
And she was, Lauren was saying that this disgruntled ex had said, they'd met family.
Oh yeah.
He told
he loved her.
Yeah, that he loved her and all this. It wasn't just a casual thing. Yeah. He could see she wanted the long game, as Jack put it.
Even before they started on the couch, Lauren was basically just all of us. She's like, here we go.
Yeah. I know.
I mean, the whole he kept changing the timeline because he realised as he was sat like six or 7 weeks or
eight or nine
maybe.
And I love that John didn't then go away with that.
Yeah.
I love
it. But then he has the nerve to go, you do the calculations.
Why don't you just tell us, dickhead?
Yeah, you know. It's your life.
You remember, do it. When you come to be interviewed for a TV show, you know if you're in a relationship
or
not.
Well, exactly.
John can't tell you that.
Yeah, I know.
Honestly, what a knob. It's just horrible.
Oh, God. I know.
I don't know if it's like the... I'm trying to be fair to him. And, you know, does he have any good qualities? But every time he does something that he thinks is nice, it's so patronising when he keeps talking about her, like, emotional intelligence.
Smug look on his face.
Like, he's patting the dog. It does feel like he's trying to train her. Because it's the, like, positive reinforcement, pat on the head. You should do this better, pat on the head. And it's constant.
There's a little crumb for you.
Yes!
Yeah. It's weird. We have this sort of unwritten rule where we don't talk about people's appearances, because it's just not nice, is it? But
we do that off the mic.
I do find myself bending that rule a little bit when it comes to people like Jack, because why the fuck is he that colour? He's so red. It's him and Harrison have been the reddest people I think I've seen. I had to adjust the colour balance on the TV because
it feels like if he was, you know, like in a kid's book and they draw the personality like a Roald Dahl, the twits or something. You draw what would he look like to be the smuggest, most arrogant guy, and it does feel like what he wears and how he presents himself fits so well with this character.
You know, it's probably his clothes are so tight. It's just all
it's just go red. Got off the circulation.
I mean, he seemed to come from like quite a sweet family when we met his parents. Like, he must have some redeeming qualities.
What was the revelation these past two episodes that he's got three sisters?
I
could not believe that. I was like, you've got three sisters and you still treat women like this?
Mental.
That blew my mind.
I don't know what's happened there. Is he the youngest and he's been treated like a little pet?
True.
And he sees women as being his people that help him out, wait on him, pander to him. I would guess.
Point. Interesting.
Mm-hmm. Are you the youngest home? I'm joking.
Yes, he is.
I'm the baby.
Oh, no. Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, we need to talk about the outburst from Richard.
Oh,
because
basically,
Richard defended Jack, which is madness.
But I also had one more thing to say.
Go on.
I remembered because I wrote it down, talking about him training her. He actually said these exact words. She hasn't challenged me yet, so far, so good.
Oh, yes.
But imagine saying that out loud.
Yeah.
The levels of, like, just dickerishness. Yeah. Dickerishness, that is not a word. But, like, what? Imagine
Bassett's even, dickerish also.
But imagine not wanting to be challenged by your partner.
But earlier on in the series, he said that he did want to be challenged. He's just full of contradictions.
And then we'll come to the fact that he said, takes me a long time to have a sexual attraction to somebody or build it. And then who did he get heckled by? Timothy?
Well, but he just remembered also before that, Alessandra tried to pin him down on that too.
Because
she's like, well, that's a surprise coming from you.
You remember the whole put it in the microwave?
Because we talked about at length about your sexual preferences,
she
tried to pin him down, which was really good.
And it's been back to his interview, his like audition tape a couple of times where he said, I know within 0.2 seconds if I want to sleep with somebody or whatever and then he's saying the opposite. Why do you think he is being like that with Tori? Do you think he doesn't fancy her?
Maybe. Let's give him the benefit of the doubt. Maybe he is actually set himself a rule of like, I always sleep with people early.
Yeah.
Like, I know I have the potential to come across as a dick on this program. One way I can mitigate that is to be like,
no, that's not it.
Is there only so much of that you can tolerate?
What do you think it is?
I think it's a weapon. That's what I think. He's using it as a weapon.
He's withholding his penis.
Yes.
His beautiful penis that everyone's dying for.
Oh, the ladies love him, don't they? But I do think that's what it is. I think he's keeping her hanging on by not having sex with her, but telling her how great she is, telling her how emotionally intelligent she is, manipulating her,
making
to stick
her want
up for
it more.
Him all the time. I think he's using it to manipulate her.
And then he's like, if you're a good girl, I'll do a golden shower on you.
I know.
Where are we on the countdown then? Because that 6 week count has been...
2 weeks?
Yeah.
Is that what he's got, a 6 week countdown?
He said,
if I haven't slept with you. Oh my word.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
Yes. I mean, so you almost had me on your explanation,
no.
Omar.
No.
Because I do want to find a redeeming quality in this person. Nobody's all bad and nobody's all good. What are his good parts? Because I haven't seen it yet.
What do you mean you've seen the nipple ring?
Oh, my word.
Well, hang on. Before we forget, though, because you mentioned this earlier.
Oh, yeah.
Timothy... chirping up saying this isn't what you were saying on the books night,
calling bullshit Timothy,
yeah,
which backfired.
Can I say, right, like,
old men are supposed to stand up for other old men and Richard threw Timothy under the bus.
Can I just say, if you had anything to defend Jack with, do not use it.
Keep
why
it to
are
yourself.
You using it,
yeah. But like, the more I see of Richard, and it's not just the photo ranking thing, I'm finding him a bit irritating. He's starting to piss me off a bit. I don't know why.
I agree a little. There's something about him, and I hope he's not going to break Andrea's heart, because he says these really sweet things to camera, like, she takes my breath away. I've never felt like this since I was 20. All these things. But then I can't work out if he's just going through the motions of, like, keeping her happy or saying the right thing. I don't know. I don't know, because then sometimes... like the photo ranking, I can't ignore that.
Yeah,
that was weird behaviour, and it doesn't marry up with somebody who's like besotted with someone and so sweet and so into her and not wanting to even turn the timer off when they finished their eye gazing.
Yeah,
they kept going and didn't look away from each other. That to me doesn't add up with somebody who's like, she's got hot body, she's hot. It's just not quite. There's something there that's not quite.
It's, the reason I said leaving the photo ranking aside, because it's not even about their relationship necessarily. I just find him, his mannerisms and stuff irritating. It's like they're throwing Timothy under the bus. What's the need for that?
I don't know. Upset Lucinda. You could see her just crestfallen.
Maybe his point he was making was that, look, we all say things and then in the moment you act differently.
Yeah.
But what's the need to, like... But then I suppose you could say, why is Tim, you know...
Calling out Jack.
But he was sort of brought into it because he was laughing and John...
Because he was saying, whispering to Lucinda
it's bullshit.
Yeah. I don't buy it, it's bullshit. Which, fine, just say that. He doesn't buy what Jack's saying. Fine.
Yeah. What do we think? What do we think of finding out that that Andrea and Richard are having sex 2 to 4 times a day?
Wow.
I mean, they've got no else to do in those apartments.
There's a swimming pool.
There's only so many Kit Kats you can eat.
I don't know if I'm showing my own like habits here, but that blew my mind.
Yeah.
And
it's
like,
excessive, isn't it?
That's 2 to 4 times a day. Like,
I'm too tired for that.
That is wild. And like, in a way, I kind of love it because they're the oldest couple and they're the most into each other. They seem to be the most like...
Yeah.
If we ignore the fact we're not sure about Richard, because maybe he is lovely, maybe he is fine. Amazing that they're getting on like a house on fire. But... 2 to 4 times a day.
Where do they get the energy from?
That is wild. What wellness tablets are they taking? Like, for their bone joints. I wasn't expecting that, but I don't know if I'm showing my own
revelation.
Well, this is a good opportunity, I think, to talk about Timothy and Lucinda. I mean, that sort of the intimacy weak side of it, especially. She was kind of upset, wasn't she?
Yes.
She's such an interesting one because she keeps trying, but she's also really self-aware with it.
Yeah.
So she'll say things like, I keep thrusting myself on this poor man. So like, she knows...
I don't want to get arrested.
Yeah, she knows she's doing it, but because she's so open with her approach, it doesn't come across icky or like... I don't feel like she's smothering him.
No.
From his perspective, maybe. But she doesn't play games. Like, she's always warm. So when he came back from having stormed out, or when they from what we see of the edit, when they seem to be meeting again after an argument, she'll be like, "How are you? Like, welcome home." She's always really warm to him, even if he doesn't quite deserve it, or even if she was be within her rights to give him the cold shoulder, which isn't. I don't approve of playing games, but but you can imagine a lot of people would.
I think we've got to the point where her patience is cracking because of the whole you know, she didn't wear a shirt to bed.
I know.
Oh God,
that is the first time I've heard her say something not lovely.
It was fucking funny.
Yeah, it's so funny. Well, you've got boobs as well, so you put a shirt on. If I'm putting a shirt on,
it works both ways, you know.
I know. It was mean, but it was sort of like, she's got a bit of fire to her because I don't want her to be somebody he walks all over because of her kindness.
Yeah,
and she showed that she's got a bit of.
I think he'll appreciate that.
Yeah, I think so too.
Ah, that was brilliant.
I think so too. Because me and Johnny have been watching it, going like, she keeps giving him chance after chance, and I don't know if that's good for him because he's not being pushed. She'll be like, "It's okay, like, you don't have to. I'm sorry if I've been too much." And like, she keeps being so warm and so forgiving that actually he's not having to like really sharpen his own approach.
Yeah.
And so she really pissed off my cornflakes. Her saying that to, is pissing on cornflakes, one of the ones you gotta tick, yes, no, or maybe. she doing that to him, which was funny as the viewer, a bit cruel but funny.
It was a bit cruel.
Was that a good thing? Was she showing him that she's got a bit of bite, she's not just gonna roll over?
I think it's a good thing. I mean,
and that was before the challenge of hugging.
Yeah, exactly.
So clearly they came back from that.
And he did we mentioned doing tasks, you know, enthusiasm for doing them or not wanting to do them. He obviously was uncomfortable, but he did it, and then afterwards was like, actually it was good.
Oh yeah, the hugging.
Do you know what was cute? Quite sweet, like, you're starting to get annoyed at Timothy, and then he'll say something and you're like, oh, I forget where you're coming from, like, this guy has no one. And me and Johnny were wondering if it's his loyalty to his dad. His dad was clearly like not a very affectionate person, but a really close part of his, a really, really close part of his life. He was the last person he had. Like, he had lost his mum and brother 17 years ago, and then it was just him and his dad. He said his dad would push him away when he was little with hugs, "Don't be an idiot. I'm not a boy, but your father is such a key figure in your like masculinity, or what you sense as being like the right way to be a man. I'm doing like bunny ears, the right way to be a man." And he must have in his head that to now embrace I'm guessing he might have in his head that to now embrace Lucinda's super warmth, super like hippie open-mindedness is a disloyalty to his dad's way of life, maybe. And he's just lost his dad, and so even that hug felt huge. And a hug shouldn't feel that big.
It's like he wants to feel like, look, I've been brought up all right, you know. You know, there's nothing wrong. There's nothing wrong with
I just don't like hugs. And you're like, if we start to unpack it, that's quite a horrible thing to say to a kid, you know. He's set you on the wrong path to being quite closed off. He jokes about being the Tin Man, but then you hear that comment and you're like, of course you are. I'm glad he did it.
Yeah, I think this is going to be their kind of story, is that it's just gradually Tim opening up, and Lucinda kind of having to be patient. The question is like, how far can they get before her patience runs out? And I think that little flare up might help him. It might be better if now and again, instead of going, you know, gorgeous Timothy, I love it, and stop being a dickhead. You know, I think he'll
I do wonder if he needs
that.
I totally agree.
I wonder if he just doesn't fancy her.
I think that's what's
at the core of it. I really do.
If a woman gets into your bed topless,
exactly,
and you end up having the huff with her, imagine. I mean, I'm trying to put myself in her shoes. I think she's gorgeous, but I'm trying to put myself in her shoes. If she gets into bed with no top on, and he gets annoyed,
he's furious about it.
I'm like, what world are we living in? And then she's like, free the nipple. If you can have yours out, I can have mine out. And that actually, in a way, it was an interesting conversation about feeling comfortable in your own home, because they're sharing a home. She says she would normally sleep naked. I don't know how you guys sleep, but if you're used to sleeping naked, sleeping in pajamas is really annoying, and vice versa. If you're used to sleeping in pajamas, like, how you sleep is such a personal thing. And so she has been fully dressed in bed for 2 weeks, trying to do what he's comfortable with.
Yeah.
She takes her top off and he has a huff. Like, It doesn't seem fair at all.
No, I know. Furious that she doesn't have a top on. So really, I think he just doesn't fancy her.
I don't want to admit that.
I know,
though.
But I do think that's true. And he doesn't want to admit that either. So, you know, they're in this process, but I just wonder how far we're going to go before he has to admit that, or before she pushes him to admit that, perhaps.
Yeah.
Because she seems like someone who wants to know the truth. And she'll give him time, but, you know, there's only so far that can go before she goes, right, you know.
And she said about, like, she's been working on her self-worth.
Yeah.
And she's got there where... Because she does seem to have this amazing ability to bounce back.
Yeah.
Like Alan Partridge, like, bounce back and just... Amazing ability.
Yeah. And she said, didn't she, something about wanting somebody to celebrate her and all of that. And she
not just tolerate
that,
so her.
Exactly.
I'd be like, oh, put your boobs away. Too much boob.
How dare you?
Like,
oh no.
Oh gosh. I want to think he fancies her, and the block is his own inability to open up. Thinking that he doesn't fancy her is such a shame, but it might be true.
But the opening up emotionally is one thing, but he could open up physically without that.
True.
And he hasn't done that either.
True.
So,
yeah.
So you're saying he should just shag her?
I'm not saying he should.
But, like, get annoyed with somebody coming in topless to your bed.
Yes.
Is a really...
I'm just... You can find someone physically attractive, but not have opened up emotionally to them yet.
Mm-hmm.
But he's not even doing that other part.
So he's closed off emotionally, he's closed off physically.
Yes.
Is there any hope? We keep seeing, like, these little glimmers of hope. That's what I'm holding on to.
Because they get on, don't they? And they have a laugh, and they kind of... Seems like they have a bit of a spark. But, I don't know.
And sometimes I'm really reading into his body language. And after they did the hug, he immediately pulls away and sort of leans back a little bit.
He had a full-on cushion.
Did he?
I said that to you, do you remember?
Did,
like, he's going, oh, yeah, I enjoyed it. It's like, well, you enjoyed it, but then you've body-blocked yourself with a cushion. So there's a barrier in between you now.
Yeah. Oh, gosh.
I know the listeners will have been wondering since you asked... boxer shorts, t-shirt when it's cold.
There's no sleeping naked in this house.
Okay, so we're down to the last one. Sarah just said, oh, I didn't want to end on
it. Feels crap. Like the elephant in the room a little bit. Natalie and Collins. Yeah. And I have to say, off the top of talking about them, I'm now relieved they've gone.
Yeah.
And this feels such a shame to say, because I was so sad when they left and I was so pleased when they came back. And now I'm relieved because it's just not the right place for either of them to be.
No.
They both feel super vulnerable now, having seen what we saw at the commitment ceremony. And we knew she was grieving and this wasn't helpful to her.
No. Nope.
But also, his... Yeah, he is somebody that I can't pin down, but it's definitely neurodivergence at this point, or I would assume so.
Yeah, I mean, it's been a big topic of debate. Mm. And, you know, obviously we're just speculating. I actually learned something because we got a couple of nice messages, one in particular, which educated me that, because I think I'd certainly use the term on the spectrum.
So would I.
But apparently that's not... how you refer to it now.
Yeah.
It's neurodivergence or just plain autism.
Yeah. You know? It feels like, I mean, none of us can diagnose him through the TV screen, but I want to be more sensitive because we saw him completely crumble and it looked, I've called him before performative and that's what I thought it was, but actually there was fear in his eyes.
Yeah.
And there was this like sort of flailing around looking for what on earth was happening, and he looked so out of his depth.
This is it. Does it look like an act because he's putting on an act to look good and make his most of being on TV and being part of the maths process, or does it look like an act because he is neurodiverse
and he's trying to find the right things to do and the right things to say?
And if there were no cameras or whatever and you were just in a coffee shop and said, how are you feeling, he'd be doing that ticks and that little laugh and you know,
bless him. And now I want to apologise almost, because now I feel bad for anything bad I've said about him, because I've always said I liked him, but I just couldn't understand him. But that's my own ignorance, because it's just his way of handling things and he's not ready for this show.
No.
And it makes me question a little bit the process of getting somebody this far.
Well, it's whether he's autistic or not, it's his first relationship.
Yeah.
Just him as an individual, can he handle this process? And whether it's you know, from the very beginning, it's like, oh my god, he's freezing the first night.
Yeah.
You know, the first night when he was getting the necklace and
it was
everything.
So much for him.
I felt. I mean, I know on the one hand, there's a lot of people like, I want the experts to eviscerate him and all this sort of stuff, and it's like, what do you want? He's
not a nasty person, and never at any point during the other episodes has he looked nasty. He's just looked he's hard to pin down. But then, do you know what I found quite hard? I found it really hard to watch the commitment ceremony. I found it really hard to watch. And I thought John was quite harsh on him.
He was too harsh. He did try to pin him down to be more specific, which is fair enough. But I think some of the things that Colin said were similar to what other people had said on the couch, and they weren't pinned down in a similar way with as much kind of harshness, I thought. He put the spotlight on him, I think, a bit too brightly, but too long.
I disagree with you, because I think that is, like we've said to other about other people, look, Tristan just has to kiss Cassandra. Lauren just has to do the eye gazing task to get over the insecurity about her eye. The problem with Collins is that he's always so vague and doesn't go into how he's feeling or give any specific things. It's confronting, but that is the challenge, isn't it?
Yeah, but I think that we as viewers can tell that's because Collins kind of doesn't have that language or that skill yet. So maybe an approach would have been to figure out how to help him build it up.
It felt like an impossible...
Totally pinning him down in front of everyone.
It felt like setting him up to fail.
Yeah, could see he was panicking. You could see he was floundering.
I think it felt
a bit unkind.
I think what John wanted, like when he's saying, what do you want to do with Natalie? And his answer when we finally got to one was...
Live life.
Do life. Look, you say something simple like... That's just so vague. Just say, like, I just want us to go for a coffee, have a laugh. You know, like, something actually tangible, specific. Like,
sometimes it is quite hard to quantify, though, or qualify things when you're asked a question like that about, because I think the question was like, how are you going to show her warmth this week? And like, that is quite hard. Like, if someone said to me, like, how are you going to show your kids warmth this week, I'd be like, well, I'll just try and be a nice mum. Like, it's sometimes quite hard to think on the spot of like specific examples. I think John kept pushing, and John maybe should have read the body language from Collins, that Collins was really panicking and like uncomfortable, but not in an uncomfortable way, because he was trying to... Not that he was trying to shirk the question, but he didn't know how to answer the question, and he did need some guidance. Yeah. And that's when we saw Collins almost look quite rude back, like a kid answering back to the teacher, of like, you tell me.
Yeah.
And it felt rude, but I think he was just so panicked.
Yeah.
I think John was right to call out for deflecting from start a fight with John instead.
It was really hard to watch.
What do you think? We've not spoken much about Natalie at this stage, because I do think... To agree with Collins on one point was that I know John was trying to make his point about like has Natalie been present,
but
Natalie had literally just said how that grief had surfaced at the dinner party because she, you know, it was not going well with Collins. I think if she had the perfect person there and it was going great from the beginning, at some point that grief's going to come up. I don't think it's a useful discussion point to say, look, grief aside because everything is coloured by that.
Yeah,
totally. And how we saw her at the beginning of the honeymoon, like she felt she'd lost her spark so much by the point we were at last night. And on the honeymoon, we saw her be quite bouncy, and like she jumped on the bed and she wanted to do this, she wanted to do that. She wanted to like go, she went and collected her little stones. Mm-hmm. Like she had so much joy in her. And obviously she was grieving, but she was somebody who clearly sees the positive and tries to like fill her day with lots of fun.
Yeah, yeah.
And then she looked so broken, but then so did he. That was the problem. I'm relieved they've gone at this point, because they both looked so broken by the process, and like they weren't getting anything good out of it.
Yeah.
And she decided in her head he didn't find her attractive. We don't know if he did or not, because he doesn't know how to show that.
Yeah.
He might have really fancied her.
Well,
we don't know. Like, that's what's frustrating.
We've no idea. And this is, I can sympathise with the people who think he is just an actor putting on a show and he wants to be on TV, because then when it came to what's your decision, that went on for fucking ever. Just flip your card over. Yeah. I know there's a lot of editing as well. I think they've given him a pretty harsh edit, really.
I think it's a combination of the fact that, you know, he might be neurodivergent, we don't know, but also, like you say, his first relationship, and if he feels, like you said before, not very worldly, it feels like he doesn't have that experience with women. And so when we had that thing of him trying to show his answer, I think he was genuinely worried about which answer is the one I'm supposed to give.
Yeah.
And the whole way through, it's felt about, like he's trying to work out what am I supposed to do in this scenario, which feels like an autistic trait, to be fair, of like what is the social thing to do in this moment that is socially acceptable or the right thing to do, whatever. And so for him it was like, she wants to leave. Am I supposed to write leave because that frees her from the process? Or am I supposed to prove to her?
Put stay.
Or am I supposed to put stay because it proves to her that I want her here? He genuinely didn't know. And I think that is a bit of a lack of experience in relationships as well.
He kept on going back to how he felt on the wedding day. And too much time has passed and too much has happened. All that credit of the wedding day is gone.
Yeah.
Like you need to come, like when you're being asked, what is it you know, what's the situations you enjoy with Nat or something, you can't keep going back to something that happened that long ago.
And she pulled him up for it. She was like, name a time we've spent together. Which is really tricky. Like they've been living in these different apartments.
Yeah.
In the sky. What is it called?
Sky apartment.
Sky suites.
Sky suites. Keep getting mentioned. The Kit Kats of the Sky Suites. They clearly have been like living separately, only seeing each other for filming.
Yeah.
And she's just
Which
done.
Has not gone well each time.
No, it was fairly, John was fairly pointed when he said, because it's the first week, you know, if one person writes stay, you both have to stay. I think if it had been later on, they've had people leave.
Oh, yeah.
You know, even if someone's
They bend the rules when the rules need bending, definitely. Yeah.
And then Natalie's just like, nah, I'm leaving. I mean, she came back and I was sort of surprised she put leave, but I guess in the space of her coming back and then the commitment ceremony, Collins didn't do anything differently. So,
But in his head, he's saying the right things.
Yeah.
So that's where it's a struggle, because I think he's going to find it really hard to look at this process and work out what he did wrong.
Yeah.
That's my fear, that, like, bless him, he put her first in the photo ranking.
Yeah.
He kept telling her he wanted to be there, and I think for him he's going to struggle to work out at what point did I lose her trust. He was gutted when she said she didn't trust him. That's just him being able to express himself to her, so she doesn't trust the things he says because it doesn't feel like he's being genuine. And so he feels like, what did I do to be distrustful? Really tricky. And I almost want them to have a little bit of aftercare. Like, she's lost her dad, this is his first relationship, he's been on national TV, people haven't understood him, he's been really misunderstood. Like, what? I hope there's some sort of process afterwards for looking after them.
You would wonder if they could have a bit of a friendship outside of the process, wouldn't you? If they could actually sit down and talk to each other.
He wanted to play Mario Kart.
Well,
this is, you know what, this is
common interest.
Well, that's a good example, but I was thinking when he was being asked for specific things, like going to watch Green Day, go to concerts, you know, that kind of stuff.
True.
They do have things in common, but he just couldn't bring anything to mind to say. But I agree. I'm glad they've gone. I think it's for their own benefit.
Yeah.
More than anything, that's the important thing.
And it is a shame, because they started off on such a strong foot and they were such a different couple for us to watch.
I know.
And then it absolutely crashed and burned.
Yeah. And it got to the point where it was just becoming a bit too uncomfortable.
Yeah.
For us as viewers.
Yeah.
So yes, it's time to draw the line.
Yes.
What's coming up now?
We've got more intimacy.
Yeah. The ones we didn't see.
Oh, right.
I think Cassandra and Tristan have got that sex swing.
Who else haven't we seen then?
Jade and
We
haven't seen them in intimacy. You don't watch the trailer.
Sorry,
I won't say,
but did we see Sarah and Tim do anything in intimacy week?
No, they're coming up as well.
Oh, and they have a falling out, don't they?
Yeah,
she doesn't watch the spoilers.
It's all right, don't worry.
Will you never learn?
I can predict that they would have a falling out because he's scared of her.
Yeah, it's not a huge spoiler, that one, is it?
I've just remembered as well. Like, just thinking, I was going to say, oh, so Alessandra, is she going to go and visit these people? When Alessandra knocked on Timothy. I've never seen anyone just shit themselves.
Timothy's face.
And he went, I'd rather it was a Jehovah's Witness. Sometimes I can just imagine him and Lucinda getting on so well. Like, his humour, when he's like peak humour and she's peak like chill humour, they're brilliant together.
Yeah. Okay, well then, intimacy week. And then I don't know.
Dinner party?
Ooh.
Oh yeah, maybe.
Thursday?
That'd be good.
Don't look at me, I don't know. I'm just getting there to eat.
It's about time for a dinner party, surely.
Okay, well, it was a good episode. I enjoyed that first commitment ceremony. It was good.
Yeah.
Pretty dramatic.
It was dramatic.
If you enjoy our content, follow us at Maths Hysteria on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. Mm-hmm. Don't forget the live show, 11th of April, the Stand Comedy Club in Newcastle. I doubt you'll forget. I keep mentioning it every two fucking minutes.
I better put it in my diary.
You might be away
that day. Oh. Yeah. So, until Friday, I've been Omar Abid.
I've been Sarah Clark.
I've been Claire Limmer Abid.
We're just going to finish off our sex paperwork and then do some genital copping.
What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight, and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.